This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm with Tom Ackerman. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Scott. How you doing?
Good. Two games in. Tell us about yesterday and what do you think so far?
Well, that's a fantastic start for the Cardinals. They look very good. Their first game, they beat the Twins 5-3 on opening day. They scored in the first inning, the second inning, and the third inning. I mean, if you want to get the crowd going and get people excited about what your offense could do, you got to score right away. And they wasted no time scoring early in that game. They got the Brendan Donovan RBI single, then Newt Barr, who scored that first run of the season, drove in a couple of runs with a home run in the second inning of that game. And then the pitching took care of it from there, and they added a little insurance with Nolan Arenado's home run. You had that great Victor Scott catch, a very good performance by Sonny Gray and the rest of the bullpen to close it down, including the best closer in baseball, Ryan Helsley. I mean, that first day was a really good day.
Fun.
And then yesterday, I mean, you get an even better starting performance out of Eric Fetty. That was a great start for him. He goes six innings, allows a run on two hits. That's it. No walks and two strikeouts, and then the Cardinals' bullpen took care of it from there, and it was a carbon copy of the first game in which the Cardinals scored five runs. They had a run in the first inning, and then they piled on with those three big runs in the sixth, and, you know, Lars Nootbaar finds himself in the middle of it again. I mean, he scores on the RBI single by Arenado early, and then in that sixth inning, he's the one who has the big two-out hit that drives in two and gives the Cardinals a 4-1 lead, and then they win it by a final of 5-1. Newt Barr, to me, has been the engine here. He is off to a wonderful start. He had a 2-for-3 day yesterday in which he drove in a couple of runs and scored a run. And then in that 5-3 win, he has a great day as well, 2-for-4. With two RBIs and two runs scored. So a nice start to the year for Lars Nootbaar in this Cardinals offense, which is making things happen.
Yeah, actually, I was sitting in the stands at the opener, and I commented to my buddy, I was like, Lars Nootbaar seems like the leader of this team, just based on what I'm watching on the field and, you know, just energy, also his performance. But I also just was impressed by all the other young players that the Cardinals have in their lineup that were performing.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's time to do it. I mean, this is the year for them to do this stuff. As Nootbaar said yesterday, he said, you know, there's nowhere to hide. I mean, this is the time for these players to do it. Goldschmidt is gone. Arenado and Contreras are now the two oldest players in the lineup, and everybody else has got to come through. And Brendan Donovan is now a leader on this team and is in a prominent spot in the order. We mentioned Newt Barr, Contreras, and Arenado at 2-4. But then, you know, you look at the rest of it, and so far we have not seen an at-bat from Nolan Gorman yet. Alec Burleson has been the DH so far. You looked at catcher. We haven't seen Pedro Pajes yet, you know, at the plate and what he can do from time to time. But he's not Ivan Herrera's bat. Herrera has a terrific bat. We saw Jordan Walker hit the hardest hit in all of baseball, the hardest exit velocity in baseball so far this season on a base hit on opening day that went 116.5 miles per hour off his bat. And then you have the Scott sensation, which he gets on base, makes things happen, steals bases, makes great plays in the outfield. and Mason Wynn, who eventually will get himself rolling offensively, and he's in the right spot in the order. Batting ninth, didn't have a great spring, but he creates kind of a double and almost a triple leadoff when you add Scott and Wynn's speed to the top of the order that is really producing. So it's pretty impressive so far. You know, it got just two games here, but it has been fun to watch the Cardinals in these back-to-back games when the games are for real.
Right, only 160 to go, but no, but the Cardinals being, you know, promising, and the Blues right now, there's little, I don't want to jinx it or anything, but, you know, there's a little reflection back to 2019. I think you mentioned that earlier this morning, is a team that, you know, they were kind of mediocre earlier in the season. They get a coaching change. Binnington gets hot. All of a sudden, they've won 9 in a row.
Yeah, this is just an insane run by the Blues. Just absolutely insane. They've been unstoppable since the Four Nations face-off. They have, on this streak right now where they've won 9 in a row, they've outscored their opponents 39-13. I mean, they are just absolutely crushing people right now. And it is fun to watch. And the Blues had their best win of all of them yesterday. I mean, going to Colorado. You know, this isn't like they go to Nashville and the Preds are not playing well right now, or that they take advantage of a team that's just kind of struggling. I mean, Colorado had won 11 in a row at home. They hold opponents to 2 goals a game going back to February 1st. They have all that frightening speed and size, and Nathan MacKinnon, who's killed them for years, scores a minute after the Blues score to tie the game. That's the last time Colorado scored in the game. They couldn't score on a very stout Blues defense. And then the Blues are playing a good, hard offensive game and keeping possession. But I got to tell you, that last 6-on-5 that Colorado had for the last 2-3 minutes, I'm sitting there, you know, watching, like, sweating through that last part. I mean, it's just domination by Colorado and an incredible job by the Blues to keep that thing somehow out of the net. And then, of course, Jordan Binnington, who's the hottest goalie probably on the planet right now, coming out of that Four Nations faceoff. He had maybe a bump or two in the road, but he is so locked in right now. The Blues look great. I mean, they look incredible, and they're in the playoffs at this moment as the number one wild card, now tied with Minnesota, but they could even chase some teams a little higher than them in the conference if they keep this going. This has been a remarkable streak for the St. Louis Blues, and I look forward to seeing what this could mean in the month of April. I mean, you know, we all experienced this 2019 Stanley Cup magic. You start to get the same feeling of confidence. Size and speed right now for the Blues is working to their advantage. They've had excellent defense. Cam Fowler has been a wonderful addition to this team. Of course, Jim Montgomery would be the number one addition because he hasn't playing well. But they're doing all of this without Colton Parayko. They're starting to add younger players in the mix, like a Dvorsky or a Snuggerud, just to see what they can do. It's a fun combination right now, and everybody feels like on any given night they're going to win the hockey game.
Yeah, I go back to – I went to the press conference in the preseason or offseason last year when they were talking about the changes that were coming and, you know, maybe not the expectations being that high for this year, but you just got a feeling like the Blues were headed in the right direction. And now with the coaching change and the things you mentioned, and all of a sudden it seems like they're really ramping up their potential.
When they added Philip Broberg and Dylan Holloway, that was a huge move for the franchise, because even the Blues management, even their front office would tell you they didn't anticipate this. I mean, this expectation has been blown out of the water by Dylan Holloway and Philip Broberg. What they've been able to do defensively for Broberg and offensively and defensively, really, for both of them, with Dylan Holloway, who plays an amazing style at forward. This team is just, I think, powered by the youth and excitement of those two players in many ways, and the offer sheets that Doug Armstrong gave them, and to take them away from Edmonton is just one of the great heists, one of the great moves that he's made. So it is exciting. It is absolutely exciting. Dylan Holloway right now has 26 goals and 36 assists, and it doesn't even tell the whole story about what kind of a two-way player he is.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk a little NCAA. Yesterday, we had Duke and Florida winning, getting into the Final Four. I have to say, based on what I've seen, I've watched most of the games, those seem like the two best teams by a little bit, at least. And they might be headed for a final. And there's still good teams left to play today, but I'm saying Duke and Florida look really good.
Yeah, Duke and Florida look great yesterday. I mean, Florida found a way to pull it out at the end, and if I'm going to put the ball in somebody's hands, I want Walter Clayton Jr. shooting it for me.
Yeah.
I mean, those threes were just just crazy. They were 9 down late in the game. They win the game over Texas Tech. You could say Texas Tech blew it, or Florida just has an amazing player in Clayton. I mean, he hits a fadeaway three with a minute to go to give them the lead. I thought that Tech took an ill-advised three. They were down by one at that point. All they needed was to go in for a layup. They tried to go for the throat with the three, and you know it was. I don't know. I think Texas Tech could have done a better job of trying to close it out, but I love what Florida does. I mean, Florida's a special, special team. And then, yeah, Duke looks like the best team in the country to me right now, the way that they're playing. They're shutting down Alabama, and they play good defense all year, but now that they mix good offense with their lockdown defense, to beat Alabama 85-65 is just a thorough butt-whipping. I mean, that is just amazing after Alabama did what they did in the previous game.
They had 25 threes.
9,000 three-pointers. and then today, you know, I don't know. I mean, Houston and Auburn are every bit as good as those two to me. Now, Tennessee, I have, you know, high praise for their coach, Rick Barnes, and they could well win that game today too. But those two teams are really good. Houston will really shut you down. Maybe the best defensive team. And then, you know, Auburn, of course, has great defense and offense capabilities. But they'll play a fun game today against Michigan State, who should not be left out of this conversation.
Right.
I just think, you know, Houston and Auburn are excellent. So if it ends up being all the one seeds, you know, I'm not going to complain. It'll be a highly entertaining Final Four. We got to figure out a way. This is a topic for another day, but how do you get some of these smaller teams back into the mix? I mean, these dominant teams just taking everything. And the possibility that you could have, you know, a pretty heavy SEC still if you get Tennessee and Auburn in there today. You'd have three of the four Final Four teams would be SEC.
Yeah, of course, they had 14 to start with, so the math, you know, and obviously
you're going to get one, yeah.
Yeah. The powerful conference that they were this year. So what do you have coming up on sports on a Sunday morning?
Well, St. Louis City SC plays today, so Lutz Pfannensteel is going to join us on a game day. They take on Austin this afternoon. I love it when both teams are going at the same time, when you have two of the four at least. And so you're going to have the Cardinals and City playing at the same time today. We, of course, will talk hockey as well, as we just did, about the Blues. But we'll also get into the St. Louis Battlehawks. Jarvion Howard is going to be with us. He's the running back for the Battlehawks, and he'll join me at 10:30. He just ran away with a victory in St. Louis's opening game. Mark Schreiber on the Frozen Four. John Mozeliak at 11:30. Bernie Miklas at 11:45 here on 104.1 FM KMOX.